Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts. How many of you remember the Apostle Paul, missionary Paul, in the New Testament? Just seeing if you're still alive. Sometimes it seems like the congregation just doesn't have the courtesy to fall over. You're sitting there dead, but you just don't have the courtesy to fall over. Paul was a great missionary. Look, he served in the Jewish faith. He hated Christians. He hated the church. He hated Jesus. And then he got saved. Getting saved will change your life. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it right now. Just reach out to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sins. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. Do that now. And it'll change your world. It'll change your experience. And when Paul got saved, he was all in for Jesus, for Christians, for the church. God sent a messenger to him, gave him signs that he should not go back to Jerusalem. Later in his ministry, he wanted to go back to Jerusalem to minister, and God sent a prophet and said, don't do it. God had the church around him and said, don't do it. I mean, every message was there that he should not go back to Jerusalem. But he did. He went back to Jerusalem where he was accosted, arrested. He was imprisoned. I've been there at Caesarea by the sea, and they said, right here is where the Apostle Paul was in prison. Incredible. And he was in prison. He didn't have freedom. His liberty was taken away. Why? Because he wanted to preach at Jerusalem. So he's arrested. Eventually he's sent to Rome because he is a Roman citizen. He appealed to Caesar. In fact, they said he would have been released, but he appealed to Caesar. Now he's got to go through the process. They sent him to Rome by ship. He gets on a ship. Having a conversation with him, we're in chapter 27 of Acts, and he says, guys, I have a feeling that this is going to be a bad journey. We really shouldn't go. Verse 10, he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now, Brother Mike, I don't know if you've ever had somebody come to you and say, we shouldn't go. But I would imagine that you, just like this ship owner, would say, dismiss, sir. We can't believe what you say. We have all this documentation. We know our job. And we're not going to listen to some preacher tell us not to go to sea. Right? Would you expect me to know more about your ship than you do? No? So what did the owner of the ship do? He dismissed Paul outright. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. By the way, Paul's a prisoner. How many of us go to prisoners for advice about life? Probably not. And so he's a prisoner and he's going to Rome, and the ship's owner says, we're going. Paul said, you're going to lose all the stuff on the ship. You're going to lose the people. You're going to lose the stuff. You're at great risk. And he says, we're not going to listen to you. And so they set sail. Didn't listen to him. Well, finally, in verse number 14, it says, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now, if you just look at the words that we have there, we have Europe and what? Cyclone, right? So what is this? It's a hurricane. That's what we would relate to it. There's a hurricane, and Paul, now look, he says, well, we got on the ship, and it was just a light breeze, right? That's what he says. Just a light breeze. It was nice. And then there rose up this tempestuous wind, this cyclone, this storm. Have any of you ever been on the water in a hurricane? Okay, I see a couple of you have been. How many of you want to try that? No. Even the guys that have already done it say they don't want to do it again. Here's Paul on a ship. By the way, he didn't have a Caterpillar engine underneath that he could fire up and go a different direction. He had sails. And so they're in the middle of a hurricane in a ship, and Paul warned them not to go. What do you think this great Baptist, Christian, spiritual preacher said to them? I told you so. Right?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's biblical. You can tell people that. It's okay. The storm gave them such a scare that they began to throw stuff off the ship. Remember, he said, you'll lose all the stuff you transport. They started throwing stuff off the boat to lighten the load. In verse number 20, it says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Guys, they had no hope. They thought they were all going to drown at sea. They had no hope, and they were ready to listen. You see, they had all the answers. We've got maps. We know the stars. We have the navigation. We have the history with the experience. We know what we're doing. We're not going to listen to you. Paul said, Paul didn't say here, when it started, he didn't say, God told me we're going to have a bad storm. He said, something doesn't feel right. That's all. I perceive this is going to be a bad journey. How many of you ever just had a bad feeling? A gut feeling. And that's where Paul started here. But he's a prisoner. They throw stuff off, still storm, still. You imagine anybody ever get seasick at church watching the preacher? I mean, you're just crushing and crashing and back and forth. And if you've ever been on a boat, even with minor waves, you understand what it's about. This ship is being tossed. Throwing stuff off, Paul says, I told you. And they say, we should have listened. Now they're willing to listen to what he has said because they have no other answers. Everything they thought would work didn't work. Now they're ready to listen to God's man. Guys, why do we wait? Why do we try everything else before we go to God? It doesn't make sense. Go to God first. Pray on your way to the doctor. Pray on your way to get the diagnosis. Pray on your way to the mechanic, whatever. Pray on your way to court, whatever it is. Pray on your way. Don't wait until you've tried everything else. Well, I guess all we can do is pray. No, you should have started there. Start with prayer. When we first hear there's a problem or understand there's a problem, then you pray. So Paul, you ever been around a bunch of people that were depressed, hopeless, discouraged? Haven't eaten in 14 days? How many of y'all get angry at that point? 14 hours, right? And Paul comes along and he says, be of good cheer. That always works. Just cheer up, guys. Look at what happens here. They've struggled. Everything they tried failed. They haven't eaten for 14 days. They have no idea where they are because there's clouds covering the sky. They're going by the stars. They're going by landmarks. They can't see that stuff. They are lost at sea. And Paul comes along and he says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Let me tell you something. You and I need somebody in our lives that will come along and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We need brothers and sisters to come along and say, it's going to be okay. You don't have to cry with me all the time. You need to weep with me when I weep. You need to dance with me when I dance. No, I'm not going to show you how I dance. We need to rejoice and we need to weep. We need to mourn. We need to do all those things together. But at the end of all that, we need to be able to look at our brothers and sisters and say, look, I'm going to be with you through it. It's going to be okay. One way or the other, we're going to make it. Remember, you have survived every day so far. When you thought you wouldn't, when you thought you would die, when you thought you would quit, when you thought you would give up, when you thought there was no use, when you thought there was no hope, you stuck with it and you survived so far. And we need somebody to come along and encourage us to say, hang in there. Paul's on the ship. By the way, if the ship goes down, Paul drowns too. He says, guys, it's going to be okay. You look sad. You look terrible. You're hopeless. But listen to me. Last night, look at verse number 22. I exhort you, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship is going to be lost. So everybody got happy except the owner of the ship, probably right then, didn't they? He said, in verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Isn't that great? Hey, the world needs us to believe in the God that we claim. The world needs us to be the servants of the Christ that we name. The world needs us to represent well hope, love, and forgiveness. The world needs that. Have you watched the news? Don't. Stop. Guys, stop. Just turn it off. Watch the weather and then turn the channel. And they're going to lie to you anyway. You know the weatherman can't tell the truth. So you might as well just turn the whole thing off, right? Guys, we're allowing the propaganda to destroy our hope. We're allowing the negativity to destroy our hope. We've got to be the ones that shine in the darkness and say, don't worry. Take hope. Be of good cheer. We got to be those people. Paul says, I believe God. God told me that nobody's going to die off this ship. Oh, he did tell me the ship's going to be destroyed, but nobody's going to die. So y'all can be encouraged. Everybody just cheer up. Be happy. Why? See, Paul maintained his faith. Paul maintained his prayer life. When things got tough, he didn't get mad and quit talking to God. He kept talking to God. He kept listening to God. Paul maintained his composure. I was telling somebody yesterday, it's not always easy to be happy and hopeful. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes I have to say to myself, hey, get your act together. Any of y'all ever have to say that to yourself? Get your act together. Right? They need calm. They need a sense of calm. They need a sense of assurance. And if you fall apart, they'll fall apart. So we've got to be strong. And we've got to maintain our composure. We've got to maintain our faith. And Paul did that. And by doing that, he gave them hope. By doing that, he gave them assurance. By doing that, he gave them confidence. By the way, he didn't just tell them to be of good cheer. He said, y'all eat. They hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. He said, y'all eat. They hadn't eaten. They were worried. They were afraid. And they probably thought just like we would, if I eat, I'm just going to be sick anyway. I just skip it. Yeah, Paul said eat. Guys, encourage yourselves. Take some hope. Now, hold on a second. He didn't say, guys, it's going to be fun. He didn't say it's going to be easy. He just said we're going to survive. I want you to understand something. Sometimes in our faith, we're going to experience shipwrecks. Sometimes it's only about survival. I look around this room and I think of not only those who are going through it now, but those who have been through it in the past. And I've known about it when it was just about survival. There was nobody that could expect any more of you than just to make it through another day. What did they expect of Paul? Nobody expected anything of Paul except just to survive. God said, I'm going to get you to Rome. That's what he said, I'm going to get you to Rome. It wasn't an easy journey. There were storms. There was discouragement. There were doubters. There was hunger. And there was fear. And Paul held on. They got to close to their destination. They threw the anchors. It was nighttime. They said, let's wait till morning to go any closer. Sun came up. They pulled anchors and headed forward, and the ship ran aground. I wasn't going to include this, but in the night when they were anchored, the workers of the ship let down the lifeboats and said, let's get out of here. Let's leave them on the... And Paul said, hey guys, if y'all don't stay on the ship, you're going to die. The promise is only for those who are on the ship. Hey, I got news for you. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out one way or the other. God's got us. But I can only give that hope and assurance to those who are in the ship, in the fellowship with Jesus Christ. I can't make that assurance to anybody that doesn't know Jesus. But those who are on board with Christ, I can tell you, it's going to be okay, one way or the other. But I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. I can't tell you that. They got back in the ship. In the morning, they pulled the anchors. They went ahead. They ran aground. The Bible says that when the ship went aground, the waves beat the back of the ship up and just ripped it to pieces. Paul said, those that can swim better get swimming. And everybody else grabbed a board, a piece of the ship that had come apart. And they floated. They used them as floats to get in. That's on verse number 44. It says, the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. It came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Sometimes we're going to be in over our heads. Sometimes we're not going to be able to swim in the situation we're in. We're going to have to hang on to somebody else and some other hope. Guys, I know that. Christianity is, it's a great life, but it's not always easy. And it's not always fun. But we should maintain our faith in God through it all. Paul didn't worry. He didn't stress. Because he knew that no matter what, he was going to heaven. The ship turns over and he drowns. I mean, a few moments would be very uncomfortable, wouldn't they? But then he'd be in heaven. If the soldiers killed him because he was a prisoner and they were afraid he would escape, I mean, it'd be awkward, but he'd be in heaven in just a minute. Guys, if our assurance, if our hope, if our faith is in Jesus Christ, and we know that we're going to spend eternity with God where there is no pain and there is no sorrow and there are no tears and there is no death, then what do we have to lose? A season of discomfort? A season of even misery? Guys, I'm not telling you what you're going through is not hard. I know it is. I'm not trying to flower it or cover it up. Brush it under the rug and say, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and stop complaining and stop whining. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is take courage in your faith. Have confidence in God. Go the flow. And let us help you where we can. That's what we've got a great church for, isn't it? It's good to have people around us that will help us. Don't be afraid to ask and to receive the help. Paul kept his composure because he knew who his God was. He said, I believe God, he said. I believe God. Now, for those who don't know God, they don't have any hope, they don't know what's on the other side, they don't know that they're going to heaven, they don't have that eternal promise of God's salvation, I can't help you until you come over to this side. Because I'll tell you something, the worst disease, sickness, pain that you can experience here is far better than the eternity in hell. Amen. You think it's bad now, you better trust Jesus right now. Because all that God promises those who are lost on the other side is eternal damnation. And this is the best it gets for those who don't know God. But for those who know Him, this is as bad as it gets. Paul had a high calling of sharing the gospel. So do we. God wanted Paul to get to Rome because there was one particular person he wanted Paul to talk to. I wonder who it is that God's keeping us around to reach. Is there somebody that God says, well, you're the only one I got to take care of them, to reach them, to share the gospel with them? And I need you to do that. Is that why he's brought us here so far in our lives? Because there's somebody he wants you to reach. Paul had a high calling, so do we. He endured humiliation, wrongful imprisonment, hunger, hurricane, and shipwreck. But he put his faith in God, and he maintained his composure. If he had any fear, he never let the rest of them know it. Now, let me just put a parenthesis here and say, that's why we have a church. So we can cry. So we can weep. So we don't have to put up our facade. We don't have to put our guard up. We can be honest and confess who we really are and what we're really feeling. But when it comes to the assurance of eternity and assurance of survival, the hope that we have is in God. And if a shipwreck is what it's going to take, then there may be a shipwreck in our lives so that we can show the world that we can survive it, that we're okay. And if you're going in a shipwreck right now, whether you can swim, and you say, I got this, no problem, I can swim, or whether you're hanging on to a board, just keep your faith. Don't give up. Because God has you here for a reason. Let's stand. Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace and your power, your provision. We thank you for the opportunity to come together today and for the opportunity, the moment where we can say, hey, my life's falling apart just like that ship. But that doesn't mean God's mad at me. I'm being tossed with a storm, but I shouldn't wonder if God's trying to destroy me. I just maintain my hope through the storm, through the shipwreck. I just keep my faith through the hunger and the humiliation. And I don't give up on God. I don't put my confidence in the ship. I put my confidence in the Lord. God, draw us to you. Help us to see your purpose, your plan for our lives. Make us useful in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. Is there something on your heart this morning that you need to share? I invite you to come and do that. But you can, from where you are, reach out to God. Say, God, this is what I'm going through. And I need you. I need your help. I have faith. God, I need your help. I don't want to be hopeless. I need your assurance. Paul said, I believe God. Can you say that this morning? I believe God. No matter what, I believe God. Pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, forgive my sin. Save my soul. God, I give my life to you. What about it this morning? Listen to that prayer. Very appropriate. Anything else? All right. Let's pray for one another. I'm glad Sister Becky's here. Continue to pray for her with her knee. Great to see Brother Foggy. Continue to pray for Brother Chuck. Also Butch and Mary, let's remember both of them. Of course, Brother Forrest and Sister Gracie went to urgent care this morning. Callie, Cheryl's daughter, is in the hospital with a bowel blockage, and Doug Taylor's in there with probably an amputation of his big toe. So lots going on. Let's just remember each other. Christina going in probably for gallbladder. John sent me a message probably today. So let's remember them. Okay? Yes.
The gentleman right over there with the beard, this guy that carried that 40 pounds in here.
He's strong. Thomas, yeah. Don't fight with him. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Remember those who couldn't be with us today, okay? Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?